I think more than wear and tear. But I don't think we lost anybody for the season. In fact, I'm positive we didn't lose anybody for the season. But there's a handful of guys that left the game early enough that I don't know if they'll be ready for this game or not.
That is the K-State head football coach Chris Klieman talking about the injuries that they have. And, of course, two that many people focus on, your quarterback and your star running back, Adrian Martinez and Deuce Vaughn.
I don't know if he'll be available. I don't. You know, last week we tempered some things with him in practice, and he felt pretty good. And as the game got started, he couldn't go. And that's the bottom line. And that's Adrian, the medical people, and our trainers. And luckily we had Will Howard that could come in and play, that's played football for us. And so I hope Adrian's available. I don't know if he'll be available. And there's other kids like that. And so, you know, we tried to manage our way through Deuce Vaughn being banged up. And he carried the ball not as many times as he typically does. We hope Deuce is healthier this week. We'll see.
We will see, and Kellis Robinette, who will put on his doctor's hat, will break down those injuries that are there. Are quite a few that we'll talk about with K-State. Last week I said they're catching TCU at a good time, and they did. They were up 28-10. It looked perfect, and then all the injuries set in, although Martinez was before that, and Will Howard played really well in that first half. And then on top of that, Khalid Duke got a targeting penalty, so he's going to miss the first half against Oklahoma State. We'll discuss all that with Kellis Robinette, who covers K-State Athletics for the Wichita Eagle and the Kansas City Star. Kellis will be our guest coming up here at the bottom hour at 9:30, so stay tuned for that. Coming up, another Chiefs football player suspended. We'll talk about the timing. There's a marquee matchup in the NBA last night. And talk a little bit more about K-State. And Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, with some interesting comments yesterday that I love to hear. And we'll play it so that you can hear those yourself and see if you like those comments as much as I did. But first, we throw it to Dusty. We got a new athlete of the week. We'll have some more revealed tomorrow as well. And he'll go through our broadcast schedule and much more.
Yes, Beloit Junior Lance Lundeen has been named the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. Qualified for the 3A State Cross Country Meet for the third straight season with a fifth place finish this past Saturday at the 3A Regional Meet in Goodland. Ran the 5K at a time of 17:41.70. The race at Goodland came on the heels of Lundeen finishing all league with a sixth place finish at the NCAA Meet and Lakeside Invitational in Downs on October 13th. Lundeen has finished in the top 10 in all eight events for Beloit this season. The top finish were second place at Concordia on September 1st and Heston on September 8th, Republic County September 22nd, while also bringing home the third place medal at the home meet in Beloit September 29th. Next up for Lundeen will be the state meet at Rimrock Farm in Lawrence. Looks to medal for the third straight season at state after finishing 11th last season as a sophomore and 15th as a freshman. The boys state race will start at 11:45 there in Class 3A on Saturday morning in Lawrence. Again, congratulations to Lance Lundeen, the NCCastSports.com Cunningham Telephone and Cable Athlete of the Week. You can read more at the website there. High school fall sports season is winding down. It was along with state cross country this weekend. State volleyball taking place Friday and Saturday. State football playoffs begin this week. Plenty of coverage coming up on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3, KatyCountry94.com, the Bullet Trojan channel. Football action, Lakeside's at Hanover Thursday night. First round of the 8-man Division II playoffs on Katy Country 94 and KatyCountry94.com. Pregame 5:30, kickoff at 6 o'clock. Then on Friday night, the Bullet Trojans open the 2A playoffs at home against Larned. We'll have online video stream against Larned. They're at the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com. And then on Friday, our volleyball play-by-play coverage of state, Smith Center Lady Red in 2A in Dodge City on Katy Country 94, and the St. John's Tipton Lady Jays at 1A Division 2 in Emporia, Z96.3 Friday morning and afternoon. And then Friday afternoon and evening, we have coverage of the Beloit Lady Trojans at the 3A state tournament in Hutchinson. So you can find the full broadcast schedule and pool play schedule there at ncksports.com. Again, your home for high school sports here in North Central Kansas. A quick reminder, coming up tonight, we do have our high school football locker room chats as we'll talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge at around 5:15 here this evening on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. And if you ever miss our locker room chats, you can find them posted online on demand at katycountry94.com on the Locker Room Chat podcast. So that catches you up with what's going on in local sports here today.
Yeah, I got a feeling we're going to have some other athletes of the week to reveal here later this week and next week. And there's a lot of athletes that should be recognized for what they've been able to accomplish in various sports.
Absolutely. And it's been a great fall for a lot of individuals, a lot of teams, obviously with state volleyball. There's been a lot of teams that have done great, a lot of teams that have qualified for state cross country as well. So, it's been a great fall sports season as it winds down here for our area teams.
Absolutely. All right. You mentioned locker room chats already for today. Okay. Yep. We're good there. I covered all local sports for today.
Yes, sir.
We'll have more of a preview coming up tomorrow and into Friday as well, as we will be all over the state covering state play-by-play volleyball. That video stream for Beloit football on Friday will be natural sound, no play-by-play, but you still get to watch the video stream, and Colton will do a good job updating you on the scoreboard that we have there with the graphic brought to you by Dairy Queen. It'll give you the time, the down and distance, and update the score, and you probably can still do some highlights. It just won't have my or Dusty's voice on it, and if you don't like it, sorry, but state volleyball will take precedence over that. It's a first-round playoff game in football. Beloit should handle, although you never know. And state volleyball, that's something that only happens once a year. And we're going to have full play-by-play coverage on the radio on 94.1 and 96.3. All right, we talk about K-State football team. They are dealing with multiple injuries of key players. They haven't lost anybody for the season, as you heard Coach Kleiman say. Adrian Martinez, basically he's going to sit out the next couple days, see how he feels. And he may be a go. It sounds like he might be a game-time decision against Oklahoma State. If Will Howard starts, it'd be the third straight year. K-State have a backup quarterback playing Oklahoma State. And, of course, so many years ago, Skylar Thompson had his breakout game off the bench at Stillwater. Remember that? I remember sitting in a place in Salina watching that going, wow, Skylar Thompson finally got a shot. Maybe he should have been playing sooner because he played so well in that game. And then everybody started talking about how Skylar Thompson was going to be an NFL quarterback. And I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. And then for a little while, he really did look like an NFL quarterback. Then there was a whole bunch of, there's no way he's going to make an NFL. And now he's NFL as a seventh-round draft pick and a third-string quarterback who actually started a game. It's kind of weird, the ups and downs of Skylar Thompson's career.
Yeah, he was another one that was bit by the injury bug that we're talking about quite a bit. And that kind of derailed, I feel like, a lot of what he could have been in at the college level. You could see the skill set that he had. If he worked at it, could translate to the next level.
Absolutely.
And, it's nice to see him actually at least being on a team and getting a chance there.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll talk more K-State with Kellis Robinette coming up in a little bit. K-State plays Oklahoma State at 2:30 this Saturday afternoon. Kind of weird. We have no KU game. They have a bye this week, and the Chiefs have a bye the same week. So if you're a Chiefs and a Jayhawk fan, there's nothing to worry about. You can just focus on relax, not have to be stressed out, yelling at the TV, yelling at the radio when you're listening to the game. Don't have to worry about going to a game. Just chill out, relax.
Searching 96.3 this weekend.
Be music, man.
It's just music. There's no games. Don't freak out. Don't
panic. Exactly.
There's no KU or K-State or KU or Chiefs.
Right, absolutely. NBA last night, the Pelicans beat the Mavericks 113-111. Devontae Graham had a big three-pointer and some key free throws in that one. Oklahoma City, I thought they were tanking. They beat the Clippers 108-94. The Suns beat the Warriors 134-105. The Warriors have given up 70 or more points in three straight first halves. That's never happened in Golden State Warrior history. They're not playing defense is what we're trying to tell you. Warriors lose. They're 2-2. Dusty Spurs are off to a 3-1 start. What's up with tanking?
You're like, I thought the Thunder were tanking. Yeah, I thought that the same thing about my team. Like, we can't even tank, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Now, I don't want to tank. Like, that's not my goal.
Yeah.
But that it was obviously what it kind of looked like was going to happen this year. But I don't know. Maybe people were listening to Adam Silver and just making it look good, right? Like,
maybe so. Maybe so.
Just win some games here and there and make sure it doesn't look like we're just losing on purpose.
The marquee game in the NBA tonight, the Nets, who can't stop anybody, and Ben Simmons had a rough start back. Have you noticed he's fouled out two of the three games, fouled out in a preseason game? Well, you might be a little rusty when you haven't played a competitive game in a year and a half. The Nets, and the reason they got him and gave up Harden was, well, one, Harden wanted out, but two is like, well, we'll get some help on defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not happening so far. It's early, you never know. But the Nets and the Bucks tonight, that's a marquee game on ESPN. And then the late game, the Lakers, who are winless, versus the Nuggets. Christian Brown, man, he had a nice couple of highlights the other night. Against the Warriors, he picked Jordan Poole's pocket for a layup. He had a big three, and Christian Brown looks like a dude that fits in really well in the NBA. And I, I have to admit, he's gonna turn in kind of a bit of a pest. People are not going to like him, I think. And that's a good thing if you're a Nuggets fan.
I think there were some of those people that didn't like him in college already.
Sure. So, right.
Yeah, he's going to turn it into that in the NBA.
He's kind of like a mini Grayson Allen. He's not as dirty as Grayson Allen, but he's got that swagger and that confidence, every championship team needs somebody that has some. You have to have swagger and confidence.
Yeah, I would never call Christian Brown dirty.
No.
But he just has that cockiness.
It's that, he even admits
it's that confidence that moves over to cockiness. For sure, with Christian Brown.
Absolutely.
The guy you like on your team, but hate on the other team,
That's like, I've always said, like, Patrick Beverley. Yes. I would hate to play against him, but I want him on my team. Dennis Rodman was the epitome of that.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't want to play against him. You couldn't stand the guy. He was a pain in your butt. But, man, you'd be happy to take him on your team and let him irritate the opponents because you knew he irritated you when he was on the other side. He'd be a good example of that. Brett Yormark, I really love this hire of the Big 12. Brett Yormark, this is a guy that actually has moved into the 21st century compared to previous Big 12 commissioners, and he gets it. I mean, he understands marketing, he understands branding, and he's got lots of connections in various areas and venues compared to other commissioners, even, dare I say it, the commissioners of the Big 10 and the SEC. This is at some kind of conference here. I don't know where exactly he was, but this is Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. I love this comment. This is about a minute and a half. I want to play it for you. Hopefully it'll sound okay here over the radio. And you can let me know if you're a Big 12 fan. You know, if you're one of those people that's with KU, K-State, or Iowa State, or whatever, and you know Oklahoma and Texas, like, we don't care. We're leaving anyway. But this is the new commissioner, and I love what he says.
No, it's interesting being in this industry. You know, you get scrutinized if you wake up one morning and take two teams from a different conference. And I've telegraphed my intentions. You know, I've decided I'm going to take a different approach. I'm going to telegraph it. I'm going to be very transparent, open, and honest in my desires to go national, to expand. And I've done that. You know, the rationale behind it is I aspire for this conference to be truly national. And from a geographic standpoint, we need to have fans and institutions spread across this great country, from east to west. In addition, I want to provide scheduling opportunities and flexibility for our media partners, so we're in every time zone. We bring in four new schools. We go from eight states. We go from 40 million people in our geographic footprint to 75 million. So we're truly on our way to become national, but I want more. Now, wanting more doesn't mean you necessarily do it. It's got to be additive. It's got to create value for the Big 12. It's got to be for all the right reasons. And I will tell you this. What I have found in our conference right now, amongst our member institutions and our board, is an incredible alignment. Everyone is like-minded. They share the same mission and vision for where this conference has to go.
I love it. I love it. That is a guy that sounds like he is the CEO of a particular energy drink or a food staple, a new product. And he's like, dude, the more states we're in, the more the brand, the more people that see us, the better the visual. And I'm like, duh. But you don't hear commissioners talk like that. They may think that way, but I love the fact he just comes out and says, yeah, we're open for business. He said that. Those are his words. He said that. We'll look into grabbing schools if they fit what we want to do. He mentions the time zones again, which is, he's absolutely right. That does give your media partners tons of flexibility. Instead of being stuck with 11 a.m. kickoffs all the time, you could actually have maybe 11 a.m. Think about this. The Big 12 could have, imagine this. The Big 12 could have a game at 11. They could have a game at 2:30. They could game have a 6. They have a game at, there'd be 5 Big 12 games typically. Okay, conferences. You could have 11, 2:30, 6, and you could have, when BYU's in this conference, you could have a 9 o'clock game. You've got the whole day, there's Big 12 football all day long, and you don't have 3 Big 12 games at about the same time in the afternoon, or 2 Big 12 games both at 6 and 6:30 in the evening. Absolutely brilliant. Let's make it happen. I'm all in.
Yeah, go get Oregon. Right.
Yes, that would be a big
another
one.
late time slot there.
There you go.
And so you're adding, and yeah, obviously you can start early and end late and have a great day of Big 12 football there. And now I don't know that I'm not a big fan of if K-State's traveling to Oregon playing at 9 o'clock at night, but you know, you just do what you gotta do.
We're gonna lose some sleep here in the Central Time Zone when they do that.
Yeah, it was 7 o'clock kickoff in Eugene. That's 9 o'clock here. But K-State did that like a real late game one time against Colorado. Mm-hmm. When Ron Prince was there, they didn't have really a good TV deal. I think that was like an 8:15 kick, though.
Yeah. No, I think it's a great vision to have, no doubt. A couple other notes before we get into the Frank Clark suspension. Jim Nantz going to call his last Final Four in 2023. Ian Eagle is going to be the guy that's going to probably step in. His son Noah now is doing national games. Klay Thompson, we mentioned the Warriors and Suns. He was ejected for the first time of his career last night. So apparently he was fed up with playing, and they were getting beat, and so he moved on.
Yeah,
and Devin Booker got into it.
I turned on the TV coming back from out here, and he was just screaming and getting ejected. I didn't really look into what happened. I just saw it.
Yeah. NFL NBA stars terminating partnership with Kanye West. If you don't know what's going on there, you can look it up and Google it. I'm not going to get into it, but
good.
Yeah,
it's probably good.
Probably a good thing. Frank Clark. So Willie Gay got suspended for 4 games for an incident that took place a long time ago. Frank Clark's now getting suspended. So Willie Gay comes back, and now Clark's suspended. He's been suspended by the league for 2 games for violating their personal conduct policy. The suspension comes as a result of the gun charges he had in L.A. He pled no contest in September to misdemeanor possession of an assault weapon and was sentenced to 1 year probation, 40 hours community service. His suspension begins immediately. The Chiefs have this week off, so he'll miss Week 9 and Week 10 games against the Titans and Jaguars. He'll be eligible to return in Week 11 against the Chargers in L.A. Is this as big a deal as some people are making out to be?
For 2 games, I don't think so.
I agree. Frank Clark had his best game of the year against the Niners. Happened to be against an immobile quarterback. He got a sack and a half. So he's third on the team in sacks with 3. But honestly, I've seen him rush and not just give up trying to rush because he can't get there. And he just puts his hands up and blindly spins, hoping he knocks the ball down. I don't think missing Frank Clark for 2 games is nearly as big a deal as obviously it was back in 2019 when the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl or whenever it was. When he played well in the Super Bowl in the postseason. He didn't play well in the regular season. Yeah. He played well in the postseason. Frank Clark's just not – he's a declining player, and I don't think he'll be with this team next year, but I didn't think he'd be with the team this year, but he took a big pay cut to be with the team this year because I think he knew he wasn't going to get, like, bigger, better offers out there. To me – and then the people – the Chiefs fans that think this is a conspiracy theory by the NFL to really mess with the Chiefs and hurt the Chiefs are some of the not brightest people in the world, and here's why. If the NFL really wanted to screw over the Chiefs, they suspend Gay and Clark at the same time.
There's a reason they do that.
Yeah.
If
so,
they waited.
Right. They spaced it to where they aren't both gone at the same time. So if NFL was out to screw the Chiefs, first of all, Clark would have got more than 2 games, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm surprised Clark only got 2. Based on what Clark did and based on the details I know with Willie Gay, Clark should get as many games
games.
Absolutely, yeah. Because Clark had 2 situations with guns in the back of his car. Not 1, 2. He gets 2 games. I don't understand the whole suspension stuff with the NFL. Never have and still don't. Don't think it's consistent. And I don't understand how they just – this has been old news. We've known Frank Clark's situation for quite some time. Now why? I will agree with this. Why now in the middle of the season? Why wouldn't that be just right off the bat to start the season? You couldn't have this figured out and say, hey, he misses the first 2 games of the season? I mean, I just don't get why they have to wait that long.
The NFL's
going to
wait until the legal process gets done with it, and then
I thought the legal process was done with this for a while.
September is when he did the plea.
Right, September. So now we're into October. Why didn't we do it sooner?
And I think probably because the Willie Gay thing was coming, right?
Yeah.
And then they waited for Frank Clark.
Okay.
That's going to be my guess because, like I said, they're not going to do this to a team to where they suspend 2 of their key guys at the same time.
Well, they shouldn't.
And so I'm pretty sure that's why it's this late. But it does seem weird. Because it's happened. Well, the first one happened last summer, like not even this summer.
Yes,
and then it does. But that's the legal system too. It takes forever sometimes
to
get through everything, and NFL can't control that part of it. And that's what's kind of frustrating about it. That's because I was like, it's about time. took forever to get this thing all taken care of. But yeah, I mean, if you're pleading no contest in September and then you get your conviction or whatever and your sentencing and all that, and then that's when the NFL is going to come in and say, hey, this is what you did as far as our personal conduct policy is concerned.
Right. Yeah, there's not a lot of consistency with it, but we shall move on.